Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
What I'd like to do today is share some of our experience around restructure and also say something about our experience of communication and how we've enhanced that with our politicians. Portsmouth is very different to Kent. We're a very, very small library, unitary authority with 9 libraries, quite a large central library. A mixed area, but certainly heart of Portsmouth, there are some real areas of need, and this is something that obviously informs how we work. So, taking Portsmouth back to 2006, to be honest, we were still in the 20th century to some extent. We were in a position where we were having requirements for year-on-year budget reductions, and most of this was coming from reductions in the book fund because it was easy. We were getting ad hoc reductions in our opening hours, again, looking at the simple and easy way to save money, not necessarily take a strategic approach. Very, very traditional staff structure. So I'm sure you will all remember these. A lot of managers, a lot of specialists, a lot of specialists on the front line, working very largely as library assistants. And most important and of most concern for us was there was no political clarity about what the aims and objectives of the library service were, or an understanding of what potential we might have to support other agencies across the City Council and across the city. So in 2006, we undertook the Library Development Review, which engaged with pretty much anybody you could imagine. We were looking at our own library users, we were looking at non-users across the city. Library staff were engaged, partners, and best practice was looked at from across the country, and we had a lot of input from both local and national figures, really to draw together as bigger body of knowledge as we could and to engage as many people and to raise an understanding in the city of what a library service could and should be. So the key issues that we're able to come up with, initially we're able to draw together a mission statement and start to understand what our aims were. There was an overarching understanding that we needed to increase use of our services, whether that was physical use coming into the buildings or virtual use, and an understanding that virtual use was becoming significant. And we're able to clarify our role in terms of the delivery of literacy, learning and reading. Two very, very important things for us. We're able to put in a recommendation which held, which was the book fund should be protected from disproportionate cuts, and the relocation of libraries should be considered to take place where communities gather. And in most situations, that was deemed to be most successful in shopping areas. And this came together with an understanding of the frequency of library use and an understanding of the concerns that if libraries are put in inappropriate places, they will fail. They will not address the agendas that we all want to see addressed. We're also able to identify areas of the city that were not covered and to identify that our opening hours were incredibly irregular and really bamboozled most of our users and probably accounted for a lot of non-use too, as people probably hammered on closed doors. In terms of staffing issues, we were able to clarify that, in fact, we had far too many managers and supervisors. We're able to identify that many posts were outdated and there were skills gaps in our organisation. And new posts were certainly going to be required if we were to deliver on the agendas that we'd already identified as being so important. Overall, a much greater emphasis had to be put on frontline staff and a recognition that they are our main interface with the public. They needed to be less tied down to too many complex rules and regulations. We needed to empower them to be able to deliver to the public and we needed to be able to give them the training and support to actually do that productively. And along with that, if we were to deliver partnerships and a broader role across the city, there was a role for outreach teams, community teams to actually do this. That was the feeling in 2006. And a result of that, we were able to get this accepted. It went to full council, and this is where we really started our dialogue with the politicians. From then, we've had an annual update report to our portfolio holder, and this has identified, basically, it's been our business case, and our operations plan all in one, where we've reported on key activities for the previous year, agreed activities for the year to come. And for each of these, we've been able to reaffirm these key principles that the book fund should be protected and libraries should be relocated to areas where communities gather. And these have become mantras for us. And I knew we were getting somewhere when an opposition spokesperson wagged his finger at me and actually advised me that I did need to protect my book fund. So that made me feel quite very cheerful. Moving on from this, we've actually managed to have a very fulsome dialogue with our politicians. Our cabinet member has been taken to other authorities to get an understanding of libraries and the potential for libraries. We meet with him or update, we communicate with him certainly on a weekly basis, so he's very embedded in the service and is able to communicate back what libraries can be, so that the library agenda is high on the agenda for the politicians in Portsmouth. It's taken a long time, it doesn't happen quickly, but with this regular dialogue, we've moved from a situation where they really didn't understand what we do to one where our agendas and our potential is embedded, so when opportunities arise, we have been able to see some of them. So inevitably, savings have continued, and the restructure that followed that report, we're able to use the library development report as a template for change. So rather than looking at ad hoc cuts, we were looking at a direction of travel that had some meaning, even if it was harsh and not all staff enjoyed what happened, at least there was an understanding of why. And the politicians understood our direction too and why we were doing what we were doing. Rather than cut posts at the edge, we went back to basics. We rewrote job descriptions, job profiles from a base level, actually looking at what our service needed to deliver. And following on from that, we were really looking at quite a lot of staff who were put at risk, and a competitive recruitment process which HR were able to support, which allowed us to very broadly recruit from that broad group of staff who were at risk. And we were very rigorous with this and actually found on a couple of areas we were unable to recruit from the skills that we had, and in fact were then able to go externally to get those skills. Because this is the conundrum. When you are looking to move your service forward but are still working with that same group of staff, and this is where we feel we were successful, because we were able to start to get committed staff with the right skills in the right posts. A few years later, we were back to it again, the 2011 review. This actually allowed us to review what we'd done, evaluate what was working, what needed to be done again. And again, we went back to basics and rewrote job descriptions where they needed to be rewritten, and looked again at how the service has changed and what skills and what abilities we needed, so that with the majority of managers and senior posts back at risk, we actually had a situation where no posts were ring-fenced and we're able to recruit from that full pool of staff for all the posts that were required. And this was quite a rigorous process. Again, we were looking at the normal standard interviews, some various tests that went with this, but also a presentation from everyone who applied in terms of how they would deliver the post, and really a strategic understanding of how they were going to take it forward with ideas and innovation in terms of how they would deliver. And in fact, following that, we're actually still delivering some of those actions and some of those strategies now as a result of the ideas that came forward. So the benefits of this system, inevitably, is that we did manage to get staff that fitted the posts. We've got staff that really want to be in those roles and have a real drive to deliver, and that's a tremendous benefit to our service. A further and unexpected saving came through the consultation process, and in fact we're able to identify that by moving to weekday and weekend teams, we made a saving of 7% across the whole frontline salaries. And that's actually bought as a cuts holiday for 2012, and this has given us an opportunity to move forward without having to take the staff back to a process like this. Inevitably, there are constraints, and we have staff that have suffered from restructured fatigue, and inevitably there can be some demoralisation of being taken back to a process like this. It can be grim, and some staff did opt not to engage. But I have to say that when times are difficult, we have to have the right people in post. And overall, I feel this has been very successful for us. So with our cuts holiday, we've been able to enjoy quite a lot of opportunities in the last year, not least we had a horrible flood of the Central Library, which closed it for 5 months. But actually, this was a real opportunity to refurbish, relocate services. We were able to start looking at co-location. We were able to bring the archives into the Central Library. We have a child information service that's also moved in. Because of the raised understanding by the politicians of libraries and their initiatives and how they're moving forward, we've been able to introduce RFID, achieving a spend to save bid when very, very few were going through for the authority. An ugly empty shop in the middle of our Southsea shopping centre, which is the old Woolworths, because the politicians understood our agendas and understood that it was exactly what we had said we wanted, we were able to achieve that site, and it's now a very, very successful new Southsea Library, which operates with cafe, co-located council information services. And again, through the understanding the politicians now have of what we can do and how we can deliver. This last year, at the budget meeting, for the first time, libraries were actually mentioned in any significant way. And we actually have two relocations happening this year. And we're looking at the addition of a new library that will actually fill in a gap in a part of the city that isn't currently covered. And just to sum up, the aims and aspirations that we've been able to agree with the politicians, the communication that we've been able to keep ongoing has enabled us to move forward. We've been able to use the restructure savings in line with the development plan. So we aren't getting that feeling that things are on a downward slope. There is still this feeling that we're on track and we have got a direction of travel for everything that we're doing. We're using the savings to implement positive change, and the staff that are in post are actually delivering their roles and taking the service forward in really positive ways. and I feel we are best placed as we can be in the present climate to capitalise on opportunities as and when they arrive. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.